All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN on a Tuesday. Yes, that feels like a Monday. Hopefully everybody had a safe and happy Labor Day, 901 day, whatever your reference is to yesterday. Hopefully it was safe and happy and everybody's back to work. So we're ready to roll. What a weekend it was of college football. Memphis gets the win. Not everybody in the American can say that. We're looking at you, Army. Number one, Texas. I should say previously on these things. Number four, Clemson. Number six, Notre Dame. Number eight, Alabama all fell. So quite the shakeup in the new AP Top 25 should be. You got big press conference down at FedEx Forum with Cal and Arkansas and Memphis and Penny Hardaway. We know what that's about, the St. Jude exhibition. So hopefully we get all the facts and get to hear a little bit more from Cal. John, how was your weekend? I survived Safari Park.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, well, that's that's the best news I've heard all day.
I fed the Limu Emu.
The Limu Emu. Yeah, I wish I was doing anything besides what I was doing this weekend, which was losing. Nothing that I thought would happen in college football this weekend happened. So, you know, Mama said it'd be days like that, man.
I wondered about that for you.
But you know what they say, right? It's 1 week. You can't let the next week, the last week beat you again.
That's what Sarkisian's telling your man Arch.
Yeah, right.
Just 1 week.
We good, bro. Everybody relax over there. You know, in my life, I genuinely feel like, I feel like this is after a Memphis football loss, right? You just have to remind yourself how far you've come. And it's been,
That's what Feinbaum says every day.
Yes. Like, I think in my life generally, right? Not even in the betting space, but in my life generally, in my professional, in my personal, I've won a lot. I've won a lot. And so occasionally I have to lose a little bit to remind that it is possible. And so that is the perspective that I come in here with today. And, you know, I feel like it could be worse because I could be.
Oh, it was that kind of weekend.
Yeah. Oh,
just,
yeah, yeah.
This doesn't feel like just one loss. This feels like.
Oh, no, no. It
pow,
was.
Pow, 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 pow.
Most definitely firing range, you know.
Okay. Well, that's got to come back.
Line them up and take a shot. But again, at least I'm not a North Carolina football fan.
Ooh-wee.
Who believed that yesterday was going to be the dawn of a new day. That, by the way, you paid handsomely for. You paid a lot of money for that scene yesterday.
They also put balloons around Bill's presser area that they didn't pop for afterwards. So that looked even more of a mess.
Your goat, by the way.
You know what? His girlfriend probably did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she probably did.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't seen that scene, it's ridiculous because it's afterwards when he's having to answer for giving up the most points in his career.
Yeah,
never gave up that many as a Patriots coach.
Pretty crazy.
You know,
that was as bad as it gets defensively. I mean, every phase of it. We'll get to it today.
Mike was there.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Mike. The goat was there.
He had to see that. Crazy. We're getting some breaking news. It was expected, long anticipated. But John Calipari will make his return to Memphis October the 27th inside FedEx Forum to play the University of Memphis as the Arkansas head coach in the 2025 Hoops for St. Jude tip-off classic. October 27th is the date. So mark your calendar. There you go. And Cal will be back in Memphis. We look forward to having him on the show here. We have some business to tend to, don't we, Jason? Because I need to know if he knows me yet.
Like I said, lots changed since we last talked to Cal on the show.
Yeah, he won't.
You've come a long way.
He won't know me,
as you told us.
But not enough, not long enough. Anyway, we got that. We got that news officially today. It's a very busy day here on the show. Hope everybody had a great Labor Day weekend. Hope you enjoyed football, fellowship, faith, footsteps in the sand. I hope you enjoyed everything. Did I cover everything? And don't forget, the reason why we're all here, Eurobasket.
Look ahead. Do you know what's coming up Thursday? Do you know what's coming up Friday?
Do
you know what's coming up Sunday?
Brazil.
Do you know what's coming up Monday?
We're going back to Brazil, aren't we?
Week one. Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah. You got one before that, though, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
Friday.
Yeah.
We go to Brazil on Friday.
We got National Football League action?
Week one, John.
We did it.
You scared me for a minute. I thought you weren't going to look to the good.
Bro, I got my bell rung this weekend, man.
It's
pretty amazing that I'm still standing, you know?
I was going to have that, man. I was going to have to. I thought eventually you'd come back around to where the love is always is, brother.
No
the
doubt.
NFL season, everybody's 0-0.
Now, this is fantastic.
It's saying, come on home.
Yes, this is like a, you know, a warm blanket with grandma's cookies and milk.
Oh, boy. Remind us who we got this week, John.
Well, we have the New England Patriots.
Okay, big one. Slick, big one.
It is a big one. And then you have the Minnesota Vikings in primetime.
We do. I've got the longest wait. I've got to go till Monday, but that's all right.
Yeah, I mean,
get to watch everybody else first. We'll be last out of the house.
The Sharps like the over in that one, by the way. A lot of points scored. I'm not so sure, but we shall see.
Well, you're coming off a shaky weekend.
I am, yeah.
That was college, though.
No question. That's.
But you've been rocked.
Oh, I've been rocked. But the college football, that's the stupid kids. We got to go to the smart kids. All right, that's the NFL. They play the way the game is supposed to be played.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, yeah, we have a lot to get to on the show today. Drew Hill is going to join us at 1:25. Normally, he joins us on Thursdays, but we said, no, you need to step up and you need to be accountable for what's happening in Tuscaloosa because that's a joke.
He may have had the proper amount of angst going into that one, though.
Well, I think
now he often does that, right? A little bit like Jeff,
a little bit of a hedge,
a little bit of a hedge. But I sensed this was different, and boy, did he get it handed to him!
No doubt,
just run over by the Gus bus.
He was run over by the Gus bus, indeed. And man, Mike Norvell back with a vengeance, like the Undertaker. He got his lick back.
Y'all trying to run him out of there?
That's right. Now we'll see what happens the rest of the season.
And they should. They look good, don't they?
They looked good.
They certainly be able to run the ball.
I mean, it's just not the same outfit that it was under Saban.
To be out physical.
It just seems like another SEC team now.
ACC team.
That can, you know, have great weeks and also have, like, stupid weeks. And that's not a good thing for Alabama. Anyway, that is the show today. But, man, I guess we should start with what we haven't really talked about, which is the University of Memphis. Bop-a-da-bop-a-da-bop-bop-bop. Start their season with a win. And I want to make sure that I say this, because had it not happened, I would have also said it. Win and cover.
Yep.
Round of applause for the win and cover.
I was a fool.
Not that Ryan Silverfield
cares. That was my worst take going into the week.
Oh, you didn't have Memphis covering?
Well, and I think on over under, I was below. I said they'd still take care of business, but they'd come in a little under.
Well, I mean, it was very dicey. I mean, it was
what an awful take.
Well, it was 35? I mean, it was very close, right?
Yeah, 35.
So it could have, you know,
not really.
Depending on the number you got,
they handled business.
No, they did. They absolutely handled business. If not, you know, even with the weird ass start to the game with that onside kick,
mm-hmm.
Was that intentional?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I told them, what do they got to lose? It's their game of the year.
Yeah. I just couldn't tell. It just looked very accidental. I guess
I thought it was intentional. We all said it's brilliant.
Yeah, it worked.
I didn't look further into it. I was trying to get my ESPN Plus on.
Right.
Trying to get that tuned in.
Yeah.
But I did.
I'll be honest.
And I liked what I saw.
It was actually really, really well done. Like, more teams should adopt onside kicks like that. Just like, I've never considered just kicking it right at the defender. You know, like, it's probably hard to do generally.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to execute, John.
But that ball bounced about as perfectly as it could. But no matter. The University of Memphis behind, like we talked about, really, it was the ground game.
100%.
You know, handled a team that they were supposed to handle. And they are on to Georgia State. Brendan Lewis scored a touchdown. Sutton Smith scored a touchdown. Greg DeRozier scored a touchdown. And then who is this guy? Pleasant.
Comes from Middle Tennessee, I believe. I mean, got some extra run because D. Woes got hurt.
Yes.
But the good news there is that Greg DeRozier is listed as day-to-day.
Frank Pleasant. Mm-hmm. I don't believe.
Pretty sure Middle Tennessee.
I don't believe his name came across our lips in the preview for this game, but he had 6 carries for 61 yards, and I guess that's because he's the fourth string, you know, third, fourth string running back.
Well, again, and DeRozier went down and did not come back in that game.
Right. I thought Memphis was really freaking good. You know, it's against an FCS team, and so, you know, you don't want to go crazy over it, but I just thought, you know, if not for that one pick from Brendan Lewis, you would have said that this is basically a perfect game offensively. You know, that's going to be their identity. They're going to run the ball. They're going to have the mobility from Brendan Lewis. You know, hopefully Cortez Braham can continue to make big plays. But I just thought, in terms of what we hope they look like, I thought they checked all those boxes.
Well, let's start with the quarterback, 22 of 28 for 199. You mentioned the interception, also had the touchdown pass. He was also the Tigers' leading rusher with 81 yards. You have not had a quarterback like this in a while. I mean, I don't remember one in terms of the dual threat. He brings it over. I realize it's against an FCS, but he showed you a little bit of what we thought. I mean, we had this Memphis offense scouted pretty well, and that Lewis could be part of what's a three-headed beast. You want to add Peasant to it, Frank to it, make it a four-headed. But he did what we thought, that he looked poised. Again, it's FCS, but he looked like he had a perfect grasp of the offense. It's everything you wanted when you said Ryan Silverfield probably needs to go out and get a experience transfer that you can plug in, because expectations don't drop off, you know, any season anymore. There are no more rebuilds. We'd said that with what you had in the quarterback room, guys that hadn't thrown a pass, you know, in FBS. And so from that standpoint, man, I thought he looked good.
Yeah.
You're going to want to see the step up in competition, and we won't see that, you know, really until Arkansas. I mean, I suppose Georgia State's a team that knocked off Vanderbilt last year, but they got run up by Ole Miss. So it's a gradual ramp up for Brennan Lewis in terms of talent. That's probably a good thing. You know, get him comfortable. Like we said, he looked pretty comfortable here, but get him comfortable and hopefully this team 3-0 before the Arkansas game and see what happens. Roll the dice, because you come out of that, who knows if you've got that Power 4 win, you know, how do you stack up at that point with South Florida, who's got a tough road to hoe with its next couple of games?
Yep.
And you see where you're at in the race then. Obviously, you got to win the American. I mean, that's first and foremost, or else you're not in any race for any college football playoff. But listen, he looked the part, Brennan Lewis. That was important.
Agreed.
And I thought Memphis's defense, unlike some others, and I'm looking over Brad, because we gave him the business last week.
Yeah.
UNLV against an FCS, their defense gave up over 500 yards. That's that
right.
did not happen.
That's right.
You dominated the game for the most part. That's what we said. We wanted to see a different level of athlete.
Yeah.
And you did on Saturday.
Yeah.
Great performance from Brennan Lewis to lead it.
Now, I do want to just say for Brad, I think we're on to Mississippi State, right? I just want to make sure.
Change teams?
We have changed. We are
no.
Now that Mississippi State has played, we are on to the SEC portion of the schedule.
Well,
right?
You know, some of our family, that. In this family, we have several degrees and several people in the family with degrees, so I got to cover all of them. And, you know, there's multiple universities. That is one of them, yes.
34-7, I believe they got the cover as well. Again, these things are important.
I would not go off of the Southern Miss win for Mississippi State, though.
Didn't Southern Miss bring in, like, a hot, you know, coach? Or they yeah. were anticipated to be, yeah, they brought in Huff.
The kid from Marshall,
from
right?
Marshall.
It was basically Marshall versus Mississippi State.
That's
I mean,
right.
Mississippi State, whatever. You know, they didn't have the greatest game. It was fine.
They got the job done.
Yeah, they got it done.
And so, yeah, I think everything you're saying, Jason, is totally right.
Mullen looked
better
this week, by the way, so that was good.
He did, but it's time to play a real team this week.
Fair enough. UCLA. We'll hopefully get that done.
I'm not sure if they're a real team either, but, you know.
Fair.
At some point it will happen.
They scheduled well there.
But, yes, I do think, you know, if you're a Memphis fan, you know, the tests are coming. You're a big favorite against Georgia State. You're going to be a big favorite against Troy. But I got to say, I like the look of this guy. It's weird. I don't know that he's a better quarterback than Seth Hennigan, but I think there's a real world where he's going to be more successful than Seth Hennigan was at Memphis. Just because of the package, right? Like the package that the dynamism that he brings, I think is such an important. He's not a pure passer probably, but he's big and he's fast and he's strong and he can move the chains in different ways. Like Seth was respectfully, I mean, he was pretty immobile back there. I mean, you know, you caught him in the pocket, and that was that. I that excites me. I got to say, watching this guy, it's been a while. I mean, what Riley Ferguson?
And I don't know that you were running RPOs and looking for Riley right. Ferguson to lead your team in right. rushing, and that mean a good right. that be a good thing.
Agreed.
So I'm saying it's different than anything maybe you've had in the modern era, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, because Paxton had a little bit of mobility to him, but, you know, again, he was his first option was, you know, to pass the ball.
That was the sides.
Yes.
Dude, he got drafted as
right.
a first rounder because
right.
of what he could do as a passer
yes.
and everything else, his size.
He'd
but
do
that,
goal
that,
line stuff.
His running ability were the sides
exactly
for his
yeah.
skill,
yes.
you know, skill set.
Yes.
This guy, I mean, that's what he is first and foremost.
That's
he's
exactly
a runner.
Right.
But
exactly
he goes,
right.
again, FCS, 22 of 28. He runs the offense. He runs it efficiently. I know he threw the pick. I think we're probably going to see one of those a week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's back to your point. It's like, you know, he's not pure. I'm not worried about, you know, that pick at that point. Obviously, that could come back and cost you. Hey, you'd like to see him play an even cleaner game. Take
yeah.
the pick off because
against South Florida, you know, against Tulane, that could come back and cost you.
Yeah.
But if you're asking him to go out there and play the perfect game after coming in late like he did, in terms of picking up the offense and everything else, then that you were probably setting yourself up for disappointment. For the 25,000, I think, that was announced that were out there, I thought it was a good opening day performance.
I could
agree
more.
It's probably going to be, like we said, so long as they take care of business against Georgia State and Troy,
right?
You're going to have a great crowd out there.
Yeah.
And hopefully a great atmosphere and, you know, expectations high going to that Arkansas game.
It really, I mean, it left me wanting more. It's kind
of what I'm saying. Explosive offense, but in a different way. Isn't that what we said going in? That would be, you know,
yes,
not necessarily through to Cortez Braum right off the bat. Catch the touchdown, 3 catches.
Yeah, it was a great throw. I mean, easy throw, but I mean, still put it where it needed to go.
I just think when he sees Cortez out there now and you have some familiarity with guys that you produced with, a guy that you produced with at Nevada, yes, in losses, but they put up numbers. A couple of those games, he had 9 receptions, you know. 9 completions to Cortez. Having him out there just, again, lends itself to a guy that's more comfortable, more poised. He looked the part. FCS. It's what we needed to see, though. So it'll be a step up, you know, against a little bit of a step up against the Georgia State team that ran the ball fairly decently, ran the ball well, I should say, against an Ole Miss team that, you know, absolutely ran the score up, but still.
Yes.
In terms of things we're watching out for. And your antenna's up because Georgia State upset Vandy last year anyway.
Just like TCU's antenna was up after losing to Colorado during his debut, during Prime's debut.
Mm.
That's what they kept referring to during the broadcast last night. It's like, we're not going to get caught at the debut and during the debut like we did 2 years ago.
Who spent more on the roster?
Dude, UNC.
UNC, right?
UNC's NIL is $20 to $25 million.
You had Michael Jordan up there.
Yeah.
With, you know, Mia Hamm and, you know, Roy Williams.
All the greats.
Lawrence Taylor's up there. They came out to see
John Henson.
A showcase of their money, especially Mike. And boy, did you get run over.
Man.
You switched it off Memphis real quick, but you're right.
We'll get to the UNC. But
Antenna, we're up.
But Brandon Lewis's debut, you have to say,
liked it.
Much better than Bill Belichick's. There is no doubt about it this week. So. Yeah, I just come away. I come away wanting more. I'm excited about the Memphis offense. I'm excited about, you know, again, defensively. I think it's tough to know anything at all, really, because it's just that's not a real test. I mean, again, I know you came up with some turnovers, and that's definitely a positive.
That's one thing they have continued to do under Jordan Hankins.
But it's just hard to, because, you know, I just remember going, you know, after the Florida State win last year, right? We were giving Jordan Hankins, we were like, this guy's going to get a big-time job. He's going to do all these different things. And then, you know, you get into the conference play and the defense kind of folded up. So I don't want to crown the defense too early because we kind of did that last year and it ended up being sort of fool's gold.
Again, market improvement from the year before for Jordan Hankins, but still areas, obviously, that have to be cleaned up. You know, again, your linebackers having to create all the chaos. You want more pressure from your front four. Hopefully they can pull that off this year.
Exactly.
Be nice to see it against a higher level of opponent,
most
obviously,
and, you know,
than what you saw against Chattanooga. But we saw what you needed to see
and look,
against an FCS.
I think Texas football would tell you, and Clemson football would tell you, and a lot of teams around the country would tell you, you know, Notre Dame would tell you, hey, damn. It would have been nice to play those guys in week 2 or week 3, you know? Like, let me get a little bit of a warm-up here before I go into the hornet's nest.
Like, see the other side of that.
And, you know, so, you know, that's the thing about it. It's like there's pros and cons to all of it. For Memphis, it's just a matter of when.
Maybe the most important news to come out of that game is the fact that apparently Greg DeWosier, D-Wose, as I like to call him, is listed as day-to-day. With a lower body injury. There was a point, obviously, where he goes out of the game. I think he's on crutches afterwards where you're like, oh, here we go again. Because, you know.
No doubt.
Sutton Smith, the injury bug. DeWosier was able to get back last year. But, obviously, going into the year, that's the thing we talked about. You want to keep both of those guys healthy. So, to have him go out early on after scoring, like that opening touchdown, you know, that first to open the scoring, you're holding your breath a little bit. But the good news for Memphis, and that came out, I believe, yesterday, that right now he's listed as day-to-day, and so, you know, you can, you know, sigh of relief that apparently he's going to be all right. Although your man Peasant looked pretty good, you'd like to have both Greg and Sutton with that dynamic home run hitting ability of both of them.
Yep, exactly. So, anyway, it was a nice debut and a nice day overall for Memphis. Stadium's getting, you know, finished up, nice crowd. Nice offense, exciting quarterback. These are the kinds of things, you know, and you win convincingly. We're not coming in here saying, like, Like, I don't know if they were doing this, and we use UNLV as an example, but like they were one of the teams that would be like in that playoff discussion, played an FCS team, messed around, barely won. They're probably not feeling good about it. You know, you don't have to worry about that. You're feeling good about it. You have two very winnable games coming up next week and the week after. I'll be on the road, so I don't want to take those for granted. But you're in a good place, I think. And you look like, yeah, I thought your tweet summed it up well. It's going to be a nice, fun race because Tulane whipped ass this weekend too. They did it against a Power 4 team, you know, Northwestern.
They had their antenna up because Northwestern didn't honor their request about the uniforms.
Right. That's right. You can't do that on the 20th anniversary of Katrina.
And then Summerall says it afterwards, boy, you fire your guys up with that one. You fire your whole city up with that one. I mean, boy, he's got, you know, he'll have the city of New Orleans, if it wasn't already, behind them in a different way this year. That was super smart. Obviously, for those that didn't, you know, Northwestern did not honor Tulane's request to wear those same jerseys, in this case, whites, that the team wore coming out of Katrina, first game out of Katrina,
yep,
with the anniversary. And I hesitate to use that word because, yep, again, but 20 years, they asked, is Summerall asked to do that again? Northwest said, no, we'll wear our whites.
Yep.
You guys wear your greens. We've got that right. And absolutely, boy, they went out and got curb stomped.
Absolutely right. So I thought, yeah, South Florida looks great. Tulane looks great.
It's good for the conference.
Army looked way down.
Lost in overtime.
Yeah.
To Tarleton State.
Tarleton State. Way down. So it looks like it could be, you know, a four-horse race. I don't know, Navy.
I don't know. I hesitated a little bit after that tweet about, did I leave UTSA out? Now, at that point, we had not seen them, I believe, against Texas A&M.
Yeah, they
put
crushed
up points.
They did put up points.
And
one was a garbage time.
You were probably going to get crushed.
Yeah.
You know,
you were 23 and a half.
If he can pull something together defensively, I do think chances of college football playoff for them, because I don't think they've got another marquee opponent outside of.
Yeah.
They don't. I don't think outside of conference.
Yeah.
And so, no. Yeah, they're not in sort of that college football playoff rate, perhaps, but they would still be in the mix for the American.
Yeah.
I'm not counting out Jeff Traylor in the American. He could ruin it for all of us at this point.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
If they mess around, win the American.
Yeah,
what if they take an undefeated Liberty team?
You just gave them some bulletin board material. I mean, I tell you that right now. All these coaches looking for that bulletin board material, you gave it to them. I mean, Bill Belichick, Sonny Dykes had it. You know, your man Summerall had it. Like, it just felt like that's all we heard about this weekend was just bulletin board material, man, left and right. It's just all anybody wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Ohio's Ryan Day had it with what you and Feinbaum said about Arch and Texas.
Did he have it? Did he say? Did he mention it?
No.
Okay, he didn't.
Well, I mean, I don't think he had
it. Some of those guys actually mentioned it. You know, they're like, you know, we said we weren't going to, you know, we were getting disrespected all week because all they were talking about was Bill Belichick. I showed them a video of Bill Belichick.
Matt Patricia had your boy a little rattled.
Oh, I see. We're going to talk about that.
You're going to have to answer for it.
Well, how about this?
Feinbaum,
man,
had to answer for it. You're going to have to answer. Feinbaum blames Sarkisian. I want to see if that's what you do.
Let me do this. Let me take a break. Let me consult with my team.
Get your stuff together.
All right, and have a nice statement ready for you when we get back.
This is accountability segment coming up.
Well, it's going to be accountability day because
They said you'd deflect, that you'd point to North Carolina or somebody else, sort of like Feinbaum did, point to DeBoer.
Well, that
to,
was
to
significantly
Alabama,
worse.
To That's Alabama.
That was the worst debut of the weekend if we're going to be, you know, if we're going to call balls and strikes.
Well, I want to see if you're going to blame Sarkisian like Feinbaum did.
But we can talk about it. We have to talk about it.
What's that young man got in him? That's what I want to know from you.
I think it's what everybody wants to know.
You got the answer?
I think it's what everybody wants. Again, we're going to consult with our team,
okay,
our PR team, and when we come back, we'll have a statement for you, and we'll also address the monstrosity that happened last night in Chapel Hill. That's a very expensive. What's it called when you pay at the church? Tithes and offerings. That's a very, very expensive tithe in North Carolina for Chapel Bill.
Mike had to go out and have a drink probably after that.
Yeah. And that was as bad as it gets. So we'll get at all that when we get back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Sports Talk on 92.9 FM ESPN presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. All season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
John Calipari is downtown at FedEx Forum as we speak alongside Penny Hardaway. And they are there discussing the brand new exhibition. That's not the brand new. I guess it debuted last year, but it's the latest edition of it, and it's going to be Memphis versus Arkansas on October the 27th. And Cal has kind of hinted that, you know, his is a little bit of a test balloon. Hey, let's see where this goes. Let's see how many people come down. Let's see how many fans we can get around for this. Quote was part of the motivation for the exhibition against Memphis is to, quote, see where this goes. Hey, I think that's, you know, a little bit of a challenge to you out there, Memphis, because we know you didn't really go to the North Carolina joint. Let's get on out there for the Memphis Arkansas game so we can get that series going. Home and home.
Yeah. It's a Monday.
Is that a Monday?
Mm-hmm. So, but it's probably because you're trying to get this. I'm looking for the details on television as well when some of that's part of the talk. And I wonder if that's, you know, part of the reason. Here you do it. You're willing to do it on a Monday. Obviously, the Grizzlies, you know, all that stuff comes into play. What was already scheduled there, but this is the date that you can do it, and hopefully, again, the storylines will prevail here more so than the actual date on the calendar that it is.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. That
because it's Cal. Because hopefully, you have plenty of former Tigers down there. Lots of his former players. Maybe some of that again. That Arkansas Memphis flavor. The Todd Days of the world. You have that down there. That you have plenty of folks come on a Monday night, but for the, you know, for the Arkansas part of the crowd, it would probably take a little bit of a dent, right?
Yes.
Since it's on a Monday night, you have to stay an extra night. All that
absolutely,
stuff.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit of a bummer, but that's okay. I mean, because again, you're if and I'd say this, John, if this doesn't sell the way they're hoping it does, things probably done, right? Because how much longer is St. Jude going to stay in this business, the tip off classic business, if you're not selling tickets? So
right.
Hopefully. Date notwithstanding, day of the week notwithstanding, it's still a major success.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, that's going on down at FedEx Forum as we speak, and it'll be a fun time. It'll be good opportunity to see a nice game inside FedEx Forum. No doubt about that. All right, we talked about Memphis. We talked about Brendan Lewis. Many people on the station have compared him to a cross, and I'm just saying this. It's a cross between Dante Culpepper, Michael Vick, Randall Cunningham, and Jalen Hurts. I was like, "Where's the white comparison?" It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to throw Jeff Garcia in there.
You should do that.
But no, I just take the information that I get.
Let's not overreact. Hopefully, what I did in that first segment was not. That's not some portrayal of what I don't know. I'm not overreacting about Brendan Lewis against Chattanooga.
No, I'm kind of throwing
myself.
Think
anybody is.
Yeah, I'm just intrigued. I'm intrigued. I came away intrigued. Like, yo, what?
I want to see more.
What can this be?
Mm-hmm.
Can it really? I mean, because you certainly don't come away from it feeling like the ceiling is limited. You know, you kind of come away from it feeling like the ceiling is the roof, as they say in Chapel Hill.
That might have been lowered after last night.
But you know, look, you talk because as far as I'm concerned, you know, you want to talk about debuts. There was one horrible, horrendous, atrocious war crime of a debut, and then there was an underwhelming debut. Certainly relative to what we hoped for and expected, an underwhelming debut. So you tell me which debut you'd like to start with.
Well, let's start with the underwhelming one.
Okay.
Let's be real, too. He had a tough task.
Very tough task. You're talking about my grandson, Arch Manning.
Mm-hmm.
The
guy you and Feinbaum would like to be your grandson.
That's right.
He even said that again afterwards.
I'm
putting both of y'all together because you ain't the only one here.
No,
you don't need to answer both of you. Everybody. Let's be half the country.
There's no question. There's no question.
What do we say about it?
Well,
because a part of it is Matt Patricia and Ohio State and how Caleb Downs, who I told you last week, my best player in the country.
Yeah.
Do you see how they were using? He's all over the field.
Yeah.
So. Where do we stand now on Arch Manning?
I mean, look, he came up against an elite defense in his first start really ever, right? There, too, by the way. And, you know, you could tell from that first drive, I think the first throw he let go of, it just like
into the
died
dirt.
On him.
Into the dirt.
And the guy was wide open. Like, he would have been at the 50 had Arch completed that pass. So you could tell early on that he was quite nervous and was definitely feeling the gravity of the atmosphere in the moment. I thought he definitely got better as the game went along, had that nice touchdown pass there late. I just think, like, inconsistent is the way I would say it. I don't know if there was ever a moment where I thought the Texas Longhorns were going to win. You know, they got stumped at the one, and that kind of felt like the end of the game there, that you couldn't punch that in.
How does that happen?
I know.
Again.
With a guy that
basically
big.
Last year, too, they were stopped at the goal line.
The pick was bad. The pick was really bad. Not as bad as what we saw from North Carolina's quarterback play last night, but for you know, grading on a curve, really bad. I just, you know, I think, you know, if we could just strip it all away, we could say that for him to not have a game, have had a game like that would have been a surprise, just based on the outfit, right? I mean, he's going up against the national, you know, champs there. He's still a guy with, what, two starts under his belt? I mean, it's not like he's playing the, you know, Vanderbilt Commodores,
right?
I mean, this is as good as it's going to get for him this year, and he struggled. And so, but am I going to now all of a sudden go the full other way and say that he can't be generational, that he can't be great? Absolutely not. I think I probably should have anticipated more than I wanted to. I mean, I wanted it, right? Like, I was just rooting for that to happen. I was just rooting for this kid to come in and have an out-of-body superhuman game. And, you know, we can probably count on the number of hands, you know, or fingers, the times that has actually happened for a guy who's got his exact profile, right? Two starts under his belt, you know, young guy, a lot of pressure, new receiving core, you know, that looked very inexperienced as well.
Let me ask you this. Do you think a game like, even though it's a season opener and he will get better, but a game like this against this level of talent will be held against him in terms of declaring for the 26th draft?
Yes.
And remember how deep a, yep. I mean, you yes. have to go, how deep a class it already is of
yeah.
quarterbacks
well,
and who's expected
it
to come out.
It maybe should be held against
and,
him.
And,
I mean,
and
I, you
if,
know.
If he damaged his stock, Justin, yeah. we can talk about it. He's going to bounce back.
No,
I believe that.
He will.
But did some considerable yeah. damage to his stock for 26.
Yes.
Might even be a deal where you decide to stay back. Because
yes.
that's going to be held against you.
Well,
to
yeah,
the
I mean, and we got to keep it a buck, right? Like, when remember what we used to say all the time? We used to say, but we would do the inverse to C.J. Stroud. We said that the fact that he showed it against Georgia
100%
is like why we think he could be a successful NFL quarterback. And he ended up, obviously, he has become, he had the best rookie season
right.
ever.
Now,
I think until Jaden Daniels.
You have the advantage of playing SEC teams. So that's
right.
The, right to your,
that's
and you're going to get that. And the meat of your schedule will be tough.
Yeah.
You're not going to say that, well, that's some soft schedule by the, you know,
right.
SEC. No, but still, that's the thing about it is you could sense that he was starting to feel that, maybe
yeah.
even first half. You're right. He came back. He was better in the second half, fourth quarter,
yeah.
better. It seemed like he sort of let go. But that pick he threw, dude, that was out of frustration.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It just seemed like he kind of threw it up. So that it looked like everything was getting to him in the first half. He still missed some throws in the fourth quarter. Dude, it was 14-7. They had every chance to come back
they
and
did.
Win that game.
They would have gone for
it's
two,
a credit
no
to
doubt.
Their defense.
Yeah.
And what it was doing to Ohio State,
you got
to give Texas' defense
all
the credit in the world because they kept them in that game with a chance to tie up the game.
The interception was the difference, right, because they scored off that interception and then not getting the fourth and goal from the one.
Sarkisian was talking about getting him in at halftime and looking and seeing what that Ohio State defense was doing to him. That might have helped a little bit. I hate it for the kid because I think this is going to be held against him probably rest of this year. Might even be a deal where the rest of the year isn't good enough to – you know, sort of justify coming out at this point. Maybe you come back because one did so much damage.
I mean, you look at the box score, right? And you're just like, how did Texas lose this game? Because
they had the
advantage in total yards. They had the advantage in passing yards. They had the advantage in rushing yards. They had the advantage in yards per play. They had more first downs. They were better on third down. They had fewer punts. They had more plays. You know, so you're just sort of looking at this box score like, obviously, Texas won the game, right? I mean, the difference was just those, you know, I mean, it came down. I mean, it was like, you know, that's why I'm not coming away from this game. Like, you know, you saw a little bit of that. Oh, Texas isn't this, Texas isn't that. Like, you play that game 10 times, Texas probably wins 6, you know? They don't. They play it one time, and now we move on to the rest of the schedule. But the interception was the difference. Arch did not have a good day. I don't think the Ohio State quarterback certainly did anything, really. I mean, he made – that one miracle touchdown throw that was an amazing catch from Tate. That was insane that he came down with that. But that wasn't about the quarterback. That was just about his Ohio State receiver coming down and, you know, making a play for him. But I think for Arch, the goal is very simple. Like, just do well against Georgia.
He's going to make the throws against the higher level of competition, the Georgias. He missed the target on 37% of his throws.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
That's the worst by any Texas quarterback in the last 10 years. So I think it all got to him second half. Again, I think he sort of you know, it eased up. He got a little bit more comfortable, but still, he was missing throws still in the fourth, too.
Right.
Like, it wasn't just a first half thing. So that dink that he took
most definitely
really might affect him going. Texas is going to be all right. But Arch Manning's stock in terms of this year in a deep draft class
yep.
for quarterbacks might have taken a hit that he might not recover from for this draft.
No, you got to go. I mean, because honestly, the rest of the SEC is pretty down, too. Like, I mean, if he has a great game against Florida, who cares? If he has a great game against Oklahoma,
who cares?
See, I
didn't have their schedule up. So
I mean, they just have Georgia on the road on the 15th of November. I mean,
you know,
the rest of it's like you're just not going to be able to get people to forget that. Yeah, I mean, look, he's gonna have – in the next 3 weeks, he's going to probably average 350 yards a game. San Jose State, UTEP, Sam Houston. Then they go to Florida on the 4th of October. Even then, it's like people don't really think Florida's very good. So his chance for redemption is not going to come until November the 15th at Georgia. So, you know, and if he struggles there again.
Or if Georgia's down. You know, the chance you get it all back is –
I mean, if Georgia kind of stays what they are, I think you can get it back.
Well, that's the whole conversation. Who's the best team in the SEC at this point? Is it still Texas? LSU? Is it Georgia?
I'm not going to move.
Bama came on down. They're not it.
They are.
We know that about them
it.
After
that
one week.
Pretty...
We don't need to see more about, you know, having them in this conversation anymore.
I mean, LSU, you can maybe make a case for.
Dude, to go into Clemson? That was an impressive win. The second half they had, the adjustments they made.
But you would not pick LSU on a neutral against Texas. I don't believe you would.
They held Clemson to 30 something yards rushing. They couldn't do, you know, they can't do that in the SEC. They couldn't sort of simulate what Ohio State tried just in terms of being a great defense.
Yeah, I mean Ohio State.
Again, it's a lower level, let's be real. Clemson could win the ACC. They should win the ACC.
I mean, they had 166 yards on the ground against Ohio State. You know, I mean, I think that's going to be tough. I think, look, LSU performed better than I would have expected, especially defensively, like you said. But I just don't know if I can trust them.
No, I think I probably still lean your way.
Because like Clemson is like Clemson always does this. Clemson always
they're going to be good the rest of the season.
No, they'll be good. They'll be like a high level. But like in terms of the days of championship contention, it just feels like those days have come and gone for Dabo up there. You know, I know we said he's going to get some of it back this year with the portal, but I don't know. I kind of see Clemson as a team that's like just a middling top 25-ish team. You know, again, like super impressive win. You were a 4-point dog going up there. That's not easy. I don't want to
understate that. LSU might be that team maybe this year.
They probably,
that defense was nasty. I know that.
That's probably the win of the weekend, you know.
Clemson was 4, weren't they?
Yeah.
Them going into 4.
Especially there. I mean, Miami had a nice win against Notre Dame, but they were home. You know, Ohio State was at home. So, you know, I just think you probably have to go with that one. But, look, I'm not out or down on Texas or Arch. I think this is just part of his development and maturation. You know, if he's the quarterback we think he is, he'll bounce back and he'll show some things here. But it was an inauspicious start. There's no doubt. I mean, I would have loved for him to have a 240-yard day with 2 touchdowns, but it was not to be. It was not to be for him. And
in terms of quarterbacks, I thought Nussmeier, especially that second half, came out looking the best of the group of quarterbacks that we've said were up there for Heisman talk. Everything else that we even talked about with Dan Wolkin last time we had him on. Your South Carolina guy, the guy he mentioned, Lenoris, he ended up bouncing back, and
he did.
They looked good going away.
Yeah.
But yeah, Arch down, Nussmeier up, Lenoris Sellers up.
Yes.
Klubnik a little down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little down for Klubnik.
I mean, yeah, who is the Heisman favorite right now?
It had to have changed after Beck helped himself a little bit too.
Beck definitely helped himself. That's
no question.
He might be the favorite right now.
But it's one of the names we just mentioned. We named him. I think Nussmeier is going to be my guess. Him or Beck.
It's very thin, but Lenoris is 10%. He's like small favorite.
He runs around.
Nussmeier
too.
Right behind.
Yep.
The Oklahoma quarterback is in there.
Mateer.
Yep. Carson Beck's in there. So
he had a good day.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you'd have told me that Texas and Ohio State are going to play and they're going to outgain them, they're going to have more first downs, they're going to have more yards per play, and oh, by the way, Jeremiah Smith's going to have 43 yards receiving with no touchdowns, Texas 34, Ohio State 17. I mean,
my kid was glued because of that dude. He dropped the first two passes that are thrown his way. I think it was his first two. Yeah. He dropped and went and changed gloves.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, you can't be dropping passes on this quarterback on saying. That's the thing about it. You got to make plays for him. You're supposed to be the best in the country.
Yeah, the top two wideouts in the country, right? Him and how did Ryan Williams do over the weekend?
Not great.
He had five catches, 30 yards. So the top two wideouts everybody throws at us every single week, they stunk this weekend.
Dude, Florida State.
Yeah, that was a big reason for my demise this weekend. Is stupid Alabama,
dude. I think that was a side we were all on.
I keep thinking
Alabama in the SEC. Watch yes. out, DeBoer's year. I was there. New I was on that one. I was right there with.
And in fairness, the quarterback really wasn't bad. I mean, he made the throws when he had time. I don't even know why Alabama lost this game.
They got out physicaled, which is Saban's got to be weeping.
Yeah.
How'd he get pushed around by an ACC team?
They won the turnover battle. I mean, they had more passing yards, but I guess they just couldn't stop them on the ground, man. It was just a relentless attack. It's like you just don't ever expect that from an Alabama team. Can't get stops defensively, mm-hmm. especially on the ground. Like, man.
Shout out to your man, Dr. Fang, too. I saw Slick that he had C.J. Donaldson over on rush yards in his newsletter, and that man went over 67.
Man.
Against a tough Texas team.
He got him.
Yeah,
you gotta watch out.
I want to give Dr. Fang a shout out.
Sneaky
there.
Sneaky Dr. Fang.
Yeah, smart, very smart man. You said Neil deGrasse Tyson, Dr. Fang. There's that, and he. I just noticed it. He had very good value in C.J. Donaldson going over on the rushing and the props. Now I don't even know if you can you do props in Tennessee College. I don't know, can
you'd have to do them on like offshore.
Okay. We got to go offshore. But either way, just shows you found another gym.
That's right.
And Dr. Fang.
Oh, I'm gonna find the betting gym.
He sounds like a James Bond villain.
Dr. Fang.
I like that.
Evil doctor, science man. You know, he's going to find the algorithm that leads to your demise.
I was like, C.J. Donaldson. Yeah. I don't even bet, but I'm going to mark this down. Well, I'm going to go back and check it.
See, that's your way. That's like, you know, you're kind of like sweating it. You know, like even though it's not your bet, you're kind of sweating the.
I process the info.
The accuracy.
I'm sweating it,
you know,
with nothing
that's
riding.
Fine. It is. That's actually like, that's the next best thing. I mean, short of having your own action on it. It's like, oh, does this guy win? Does this guy lose? You know, and then, or damn, I hate that for him.
The life of a non-better. To you, it must look incredibly lame.
I wish I was a non-better this weekend. I wish I was. I'd have so much more money than I do right now. It's crazy. I'm going to have to
we'll be back.
Pick up some weekend shifts or something. I'm going to drive some Uber.
We'll be back. Many jobs, the money will flow soon.
If you see me or in
HELOCs.
Dropping off, you know, an Uber Eats order this weekend, you know.
Again.
It was me.
HELOC from Leaders. Go see him.
True. But, you know, I can't be doing that to
heck no.
pay for my gambling.
Oh, I didn't mean to suggest that.
Well, yeah, I thought that's what you were suggesting. I mean, what kind of financial advice is this?
You're
is how
picking
the market
up, hold
crashed.
On. You're picking up an 11th job just to finance more of your gambling?
Basically.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's a high
what
stakes
do y'all call
lifestyle.
It? What's the phrase? I've never used it, but I hear y'all use it. Jump the shark?
Yeah.
Does that apply here?
Or no? Yeah,
I've never used it in my life, but I hear people using it all the time. It's my first time. Did it apply? Have we jumped the shark?
No,
we're gonna get a 12th job.
No, look at it like this. I'm driving Uber for the socialism.
You're venting. It was one bad weekend.
Yeah.
Raiders, Patriots, NFL gonna bring us back.
The toughest market in the world. Now that's the one I like to win in.
Just more choices for you.
More choices. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm just gonna go max all in on the Pats here. -2.5, -120. Let's go. It's gonna be my all in moment. Oh, by the way, you know, here's good news. Germany basketball plays tomorrow. That'll be my all-in moment. Thank
this
God.
This guy will look for the edge anywhere he can sniff it out.
My
He's
Germans.
Like a bloodhound.
My Germans, they always got me. You know?
Euro basket in Germany. Sure thing.
That's exactly right. They're trade killers. But yes, so you had the, you know, very underwhelming debut of Arch Manning. And then you had that
Brendan Lewis.
That thing.
I'm kidding.
No, he was great. Yeah, whatever that was last on ESPN. Where Kirk,
in front of everybody.
Kirk Herbstreit's basically asking you on Twitter to feel sorry for him that he had to call that game. 48-14 was your final. Could have been a lot worse. Should have been a lot worse probably.
41-0 run at one point because they came out and looked great.
I mean,
everybody keeps pointing to that opening drive for North Carolina, how good it looked.
That drive, I mean, we can all say it. We all thought it. Like, how are you going to give Bill Belichick points at home? This dude is the best coach ever. You know, you're giving this guy 6 months to prepare for Sonny Dykes. That's like giving Victor Wembanyama 6 months to prepare for a game against me. Like,
oh wow,
he's about to destroy this guy. And then it was just like, not. They got the punt. So they score, and then they forced the punt. But that was the end of the good times. That was the end of the good times in Chapel Hill.
Is it bad quarterback? Wrong quarterback? Because they paid him quite a bit, it looks like.
Yeah.
Is it just a bad first 70 players?
Yeah.
Because I expected that to be a little bit further along. They had no adjustments.
No, they did not.
And I can't imagine with what they'd spent that you just got, you know, a crap roster.
Yeah.
So that to me, this is all goes back to Bill. It would anyway.
Right.
But even more so, this is not on these kids.
Right.
But which is what most are saying today.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you know, it's a tough thing for Bill. He's coming into this thing with high expectations. You got 70 new players you're trying to organize. Come on, you got to look more organized than that.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, I have, like, legitimately no patience for those arguments anymore because everybody has 70 new players in today's
Florida
day
State
and age.
Basically did that.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, and when you have the money that North Carolina had, 20 to 25 million.
And extra juice this
year. Dude, I think that's more than LSU has spent. I think LSU came out and said how much they spent. I don't have it in front of me, but 18 million, bro. They spent more than LSU football did on their roster. And their roster looks like piss. Like, I need to know where the money went. This is like Katrina-level fraud, FEMA fraud. Who has all the money? Because I know who doesn't have the money. It ain't the quarterback. He looked like he was awful. He looked like a Pop Warner kid out there.
How much did he get? Did I hear four?
For what?
What?
I don't know.
$400?
Oh, boy.
I thought the number's high on him.
The quarterback couldn't have got the money because he looked like
he got some money.
There's no way that Bill Belichick's doing those evals. I need to know who's responsible for that. So if we gave him $4 million, that's felony fraud. The offensive line.
$4 million over 2 years, so it's two and two, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So still $2
million wow.
a year for a kid that looks like he shouldn't even be playing the sport, okay? So that, again, needs to be entered into the court of law.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line could not block. The wide receivers, I think, you know, caught one big pass. And then the defense quit. I mean, you were talking about a tapping out. I mean, they were giving up 30 yards a damn play. Who got the money, man? All right, fine. I got $2 million accounted for. Where's the other 18 to $22
million?
Mm. And Bill Belichick getting 10 of that, by the way.
Well. Jordan Hudson has it.
Oof.
Investigation. Congressional investigation for misappropriation of funds in Chapel Hill. Somebody's stealing. And it's Bill's stealing. There's no doubt. I mean, what a mess they are in because this guy doesn't care. He will come out there every single week, and he will call H-back a gut, and they will run the ball, and they will not win. And he will collect $10 million a year for doing that. And you can't fire him, bro. You can't afford to pay that man $50 million to go away and then still have an NIL budget for your basketball and football. They're stuck, bro. They're in a bad marriage right now.
He got trolled after the game by TCU safety Bud Clark. After the game, he said Belichick got a call for his girlfriend, said to the camera, he's sad. TCU felt, and Sonny Dykes said so afterwards to Holly Rowe, they felt disrespected that everything was about,
yep.
talking about antenna being up.
Yep.
Discussed that whole first hour for some teams and motivated antenna being up, obviously, because of everything was about Belichick and UNC. Like we talked about, they had balloons around the lectern at the presser. That's it, and it probably, you know, that's not just this. Michael Jordan money that's coming to the program. You touched this thing up, and you guys figured y'all were going to roll. And boy, to have missed it like this, and to look at it bad as they did, it's damaging. You had been a joke in the offseason because of Jordan Hudson, the story that had become whether or not she could be on, you know, in the football facility or not. Remember those stories, the Pablo Torre? They've been a joke. And the opening game only cemented that and backed it up. That's my point. You talk about Arch and whether or not he can recoup some of that stock. Recouping that, you only added to it. You had Michael Jordan and Mia Hamm.
Bro.
Freaking Randy Moss is sitting next to Jordan Hudson in the suite.
Mm.
They came out for all, but back to the North Carolina folks. You had some of their greats out there, including the Money Man, Mike.
100%.
And you go out there and embarrass the university like that with that performance.
Yep.
Like that's going to be tough to come back from.
No doubt.
You are a joke. The other team is laughing at you after the game, Bud Clark. Is he the one who had the pick? Remember the pick? He may not. He's the safety. It might have been a corner that got it. Either way,
I think it was a DB.
Buck Clark ends up trolling them out. He's their star safety. He ends up trolling them afterwards. That goes viral, and that's what people are saying about UNC football. I would say they did this to themselves, man.
Yep.
The moment that they started getting into it with Bill, and they found out how serious this Jordan Hudson thing was, and where this could go, they should have stepped back. Remember, the NFL didn't want him anymore.
It did not.
And I'm just saying, man, this is the circus that, some predicted would happen when you had a oof.